preparing for last year's summer program. And our student call porters were all ready to go in Chicago. Everything was set up. They were all set to go. And the first day that they were going to canvass, as Brother Steve said, I got knocked off my horse. I got sick. I never get headaches. I got a terrible headache. I didn't know what was going on. Totally exhausted. I felt like somebody had both my kidneys in a vice grip. And I went to the doctor, and he said, you know, we need to do some blood work. And they didn't know what was wrong. They stuck me in the Hinsdale Hospital for 8 days. The doctors came in and said, you've got one of three things. You either have lung cancer, tuberculosis, or bacterial pneumonia, because you've got a large mass on your right lung, and we can't figure out what it is. And meanwhile, I felt terrible. My wife was in Georgia. Back in 2007, when we first came to Illinois, at the end of our student literature evangelism program, I was sitting at the Broadview Academy with our students, and my wife called me on the phone and said, I found a lump on the right side. And we didn't even have a family doctor. She went and started her battle with breast cancer in 2007. It came back in 2009, and in 2011, they confirmed with a PET scan that it was still there, but it hadn't spread. She had gone to help our daughter in Georgia. Right after our daughter had her first baby, she was put in the hospital. They didn't know what was wrong with her, and they said, your appendix ruptured a week ago. And it was right after she had her baby, and we were just praising God that she even lived. And my wife didn't expect to have to stay so long, but she was there in Georgia. And so here I was in the hospital here in Illinois. She was there in Georgia with our daughter. And after 8 days, they released me from the hospital and said, we still don't know what's wrong with you. Well, I didn't feel any better, so I asked if I could have a medical leave of absence, and I went to Georgia. Just to give you an idea of what, anybody know what it's like in South Georgia in the summertime? I was wearing a coat, and I took a walk outside because I had such a hard time keeping warm. I see some of you young guys here, when I was your age, I'd run around in weather like this with no coat on. Now I sit around in the house with a coat on and feel quite comfortable. But this last summer in July, I was in South Georgia when everybody else is in shorts and a t-shirt, and I was wearing a coat. After I was there for a week, the doctor in Chicago called me, and he says, I want you to get a piece of paper, and I want you to write this word down. Wegener's granulomatosis. I'm like, what? I never heard of it before. It's named after a German doctor that discovered it in 1936, and from 1936 to 1971, 9 out of every 10 people who got this disease died within a year. In 1971, they started giving people steroids, and now they give people heavy chemo treatments. And some people will survive longer, but it's a very painful and terrible existence. And so that's what they diagnosed me as having. Well, we decided we wanted to have an anointing service. And in the providence of God, my son is a pastor at the Academy Church in Illinois, in Indiana, and we went to his church and had the anointing service. I felt great after the anointing service and thought I would go to the doctor and have them confirm everything was gone. And after visiting a number of doctors, they said, you have another problem. You have a condition called aspergillosis, which is a severe fungal infection. And if we treat you for the Wegener's, it will kill you because the fungal infection will take over your body. So we've got to get rid of the fungal infection first. At that time, my wife, who was still battling cancer, was starting to have a lot of pain and other problems, and we went and had some testing done on her, and she found granulomas in her lungs and a low white blood cell count, and it was at that time that we decided to go to Wildwood, Georgia for some natural healing treatments. And because I wasn't feeling strong enough, like I normally would make that drive all in one shot, we decided we would leave Friday afternoon, October 4, drive to our sons in Indianapolis, to Cicero, Indiana, and then listen to him preach on Sabbath, and then drive on down to my wife's oldest sister Janet's house in Tennessee for Saturday night, and then go on to Georgia Sunday morning. So as we were packing the car on Friday afternoon, my wife is a very diligent and organized person, and she had her overnight bag all packed, and she wanted it to be on top in the trunk so she would have it right there. The only problem was I packed the trunk too full. And when she saw how that was, she said, I think you should put my overnight bag in the back seat. Because if you don't, when you pop the trunk, it's going to want to jump out and it's probably going to hit the ground. Well, maybe some of you husbands are more of a man than I am, I tend to resent that kind of advice. And so I told her that it would be fine, and I went ahead and shut the trunk and proceeded to pack the back seat full. So we prayed and took off up US 45, LaGrange Road, heading from where we live in Frankfort, Illinois, up to Interstate 80 to head east to Indiana. Well, as we were getting ready, there's one traffic light before the ramp to get on I-80, and right before that traffic light, I got a text on my phone. My wife said, "You just got a text," and it was a young call porter leader from last summer's program asking me a question about some information. I had that information in a notebook behind my seat, but I couldn't reach it because the back seat was packed so full. And I have one of my many bad habits I have as a driver is at a traffic light, I will jump out of the car and run around and get whatever I need out of the back seat or the trunk and then jump back in the car before the light turns green. And so I did that. Now, I only needed a notebook out of the back seat, but without even thinking about it, I popped the trunk on the way out the door. So when I got back inside the car, my wife says, "Why did you pop the trunk?" And I said, "I didn't pop the trunk." She said, "I'm sure you popped the trunk." I said, "I didn't pop the trunk." And the light turned green and we took off. And I saw something out of the corner of my eye in the rearview mirror, like the gray trunk on my car bobbing up. And I said to her, "Why is the trunk open?" And she's like, "I told you you opened the trunk." And I looked in my rearview mirror again, and here is the overnight bag in the middle of the road behind us. Pulled off on the shoulder, put on the flashers. And by this time, as I was making the 200 yards or so back toward the intersection there, I could see it looked like a train wreck. I was afraid people had had an accident because of it. People were standing up outside their cars. People were honking. It was Friday afternoon, Chicago traffic. And I get down there, and her stuff is strewn all over the road. Her bag's been run over. And one man in a pickup truck has stopped behind what's left of her bag. I talked to the two ladies in the first car. They said nobody hit them, but they were sorry that nobody got hit. Nobody ran into each other. But I'm trying to pick up things out of the traffic lanes, trying to dodge cars that are honking and swerving around the people that have stopped. Finally get over to the median in the middle, and the man that's in the pickup truck, I thanked him. I said, "Sir, bless your heart." I said, "You're going to have to go ahead and go." So I'm standing here with the shredded remains of my wife's stuff in my arms. By this time, she's made her way down the shoulder and is straight across the two lane from me. And I couldn't even look up. I mean, I knew. So, ladies, if you can imagine, she had gone past angry and furious and livid. You know, she was on over the mountain somewhere. And so when I got to that side of the road, she said to me, "This has upset me so much that I don't even want to go anymore. Just take me home." And I couldn't say a word. She said, "Put my stuff right here in my lap." I said, "It's got broken glass in it." She said, "Put it right here in my lap." I got in the car and she said, "Go, just go. Take me home."
Well, he said that he had to wait for the traffic to break. And prior to this event that just took place when we came back from Georgia and we were coming back to Illinois, we thought that we were coming back to put our house in order because we really didn't think that Ron had much longer to live. And so these thoughts are crossing through my mind, and I had been praying, "Lord, you know, with our relationship and the things that we take for granted and the indirect change that we have every day, help us to be able to have a Christ-like spirit so that we can overcome some of the things that we do each day that are just natural reactions. Help us to overcome these things." And I feel like the Lord, in this moment of time, when we were sitting there waiting for this traffic to break, that he gave me the answer to that prayer. And I looked over at him and I says, "Let's just go on to Aaron's. We'll be fine. Let's go to our son's and we'll figure this out." So he got on the interstate and we were traveling along, and I looked at him and I said, "You know, I know that you didn't do this on purpose. I forgive you. I know it was an accident." And I said, "You mean far more to me than these things do." And so when we got to our
son's... That was a miracle, by the way.
It was a
miracle. Nothing against my wife. No, seriously, in all seriousness, that was a miracle.
And when we got to our son's that night, and we had gone to bed, we woke up like 3 in the morning, And Ron was having a hard time breathing, so we were trying to get him comfortable and settled. We had to open the window, and I laid back down, and I was just laying there praying, and as I sometimes do, I just felt for the lumps, and they were gone. And when we got up that morning, I looked in the mirror, and sure enough, I didn't see him anymore. And this had been like a four-year time that, you know, this whole process had begun. And when we got to church that Sabbath, our son was preaching a sermon on the miracle of forgiveness. And it was like God was revealing to me everything that had just happened in the few moments before Amen. That. And when we got to Wildwood, the whole focus was on forgiveness is an important part in the healing process.
Amen. Well, after that, she wanted to go to her surgeon in Chicago that had done her breast surgery and had done the biopsy to confirm the cancer came back and had ordered a PET scan. She wanted to go to her and have her examine her and tell her that the lumps were gone, kind of like when Jesus would heal the lepers, he'd say, go show yourself to the priest. And so she got on the phone and scheduled a doctor's appointment for that Monday, October 21, when we were coming back up from the south. We showed up at 6 o'clock for the appointment at the doctor's office that evening, and the waiting room was empty. And the receptionist was getting ready to put her coat on like she was leaving. And we walked in the door, and she says, may I help you? And my wife says, well, I'm Teresa Clark. I'm here for my 6 o'clock appointment. And she said, with so-and-so, a different name that we didn't recognize. And my wife says, no, it's to see Dr. Hagen. And the receptionist looked puzzled, and she said, wait just a minute. So we sat there in the waiting room, and we could hear Dr. Hagen's voice. Pretty soon, Dr. Hagen comes out, and she looks at Teresa, and she says, Teresa Clark, what a surprise and what a blessing to see you today. She said, I was just thinking about you today. I just said to my assistant earlier today, I wonder what ever happened to Teresa Clark. We haven't seen her for 2 years since we did her PET scan, and I wonder how she's doing. And here you show up tonight. And my wife says, well, yeah, I had a 6 o'clock appointment to see you. And Dr. Hagen said, really? Who did you talk to? And Teresa said, well, I don't remember the lady's name. And Dr. Hagen says, that's unusual because I am never in the office on Mondays. I'm always in surgery on Mondays. And I'm not even supposed to be here right now. But she said, we're here now. What's up? Well, Teresa couldn't wait. She wanted to tell her the whole story, and she shared the whole thing. And she said, and Dr. Hagen's a Christian lady herself. She goes on mission trips with her church and so on. And Teresa said, I want you, Dr. Hagen, to examine me and tell me that these lumps are gone, whether they're gone or not. And so she said, well, fine, come on to the exam room. We sat there for quite a while. Pretty soon, Dr. Hagen came back after quite a while, and she was shaking her head, smiling. She said, I can't believe this is happening. I'm not even supposed to be here. She said, the reason it took me so long is it's been 2 years since I've seen you, so I wanted to read up on your case. So she said, go ahead, I'll examine you. So my wife put her arms up, and she examined her, and she stepped back, and she looked her in the eye, and she said, I'm impressed. Those lumps are gone. She said, will you come back in 6 months for another checkup? My wife said, sure. Well, you can imagine, we were overwhelmed almost to the point of tears. We went out to the car, and we sat there, and we prayed to God, just praising Him and thanking Him. And Teresa says to me in a low voice, do you think it was an angel that I talked to when I called in for that appointment? And before I could answer, just like your phone this morning, Brother Steve, before I could answer, my phone went off. And a woman's voice said, is Teresa Clark there? After I answered, she said, I said, sure. Handed her the phone, and the lady says, Teresa, this is Dr. Fortman's office at Hinsdale Family Practice. Dr. Fortman has been waiting for you for your 6 o'clock appointment. It's 6:30 now, and she can't wait any longer, so you're going to have to reschedule. And then it hit me like a ton of bricks. If she had known that she had made that mistake, she would have corrected it. If she had called Dr. Hagen's office, she wouldn't have gotten that appointment. What God told us in that moment was not only did I take the lumps away, I scheduled that appointment for you too. Since that time, just to give you an update on my situation, I felt like I was going down a hill and I wasn't able to come back up it. At the first part of January, when the big storm came through, we were visiting our son near Indianapolis, and we got snowed in there that first week in January. And while I was out trying to help my son shovel his driveway, I noticed that some of the problems I had been struggling with were going away. And I had had a dream before that I was actually, it's a weird dream, but I had a dream that I was going to die. And when I felt myself turn that corner, we came back up to Chicago that week and went to the doctors, and they told me all the high blood marker levels that had been indicating the condition they diagnosed me with had all dropped back to normal. And so I just want to praise God again for answered prayer. And the thing that struck us about this whole miracle with my wife's lumps being taken away was, even though we prayed about that every day, when it actually happened, we were looking the other direction. We weren't even asking for it. We can just, no matter what situation you're in right now, just know God loves you and He has your best good in mind, regardless of how He chooses to answer those prayers. Thank you for letting us share that.